I don't know, like, she's out there.
Yeah. You're the Florida version of Sex in the City, JD.
That's when I was smoking my cigar.
Don't be an asshole today.
They're lighting.
How are you?
I'm so good. How cute is it to see your little face?
Is it better with that light on?
Much better. Much better. Yeah. Oh, it's been so long since I saw your face in action and not like in a photo or in a media poster.
I know. Or on social media, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's pretty much... That's really substituting any kind of human contact these days anyway, yes. So it works. How are you?
It's really lovely to be here. I'm very well. I just had a moment of panic because my wife and I were just watching RuPaul's Drag Race and then I was like, oh shit, am I late? No, I just got here. It's all good. What's the end of the show? Here I am.
Perfect. I'm saving them up because, I think I only really have two. Like, I didn't watch last week's and I'll watch it. I didn't watch the week before and then I'll watch this past, but I got my booster shot today. So I expect to feel a little crappy tomorrow. So I planned to watch my recorded television, eat some pizza. I ordered the pizza in advance. All I have to do is like shove it in the oven tomorrow. Make things easier. I already texted my nurse friend. She told me what to expect. So I'm all right. I just thought, you know, I'm just going to lay low. Everybody that like that I over in the States will be having like Thanksgiving. So they'll be busy anyways. You know,
it'll be. Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, it'll be. Yeah. It's great. But, you know, every year, my British friends, Hazel and my wife, the tradition was that they used to take me to Costco and have like big American pizza and a hot dog so that I would feel American, even though we weren't having a standard American Thanksgiving dinner, but whatever. Not this year. Not going to do it this year. Anyways, my wife's in Australia for a little bit. So I'm like, I'm handling everything on my own. I have nobody to take care of me.
Mine's going on Saturday, so we're going to be Australian widows.
Oh, see, it's cool. She needed this. She needed this very much. Like she needed to be with them for the holidays this year in a huge way. So
yeah.
You know, and my parents are going to come. My parents are coming in December, so it'll be fine. It was just getting through.
Oh, cool.
November. Yeah, be all right. So listen, I love that you're here. I love that you're doing this. I hate why. Because you're bringing the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon to a close. And we have had such a fantastic run. We really, really did. I mean, think back to when we first started.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it has been an incredible thing to do, sort of for me, it's introduced me to podcasting, and it's just been amazing. And you've been very generous with your hosting it and producing it for a very long time before I worked out what you had to do.
How far are you going?
But it's been great.
I remember walking you through like how to use the, you know, the recording software and all that, and you're like an old pro now, and it's like to see that growth has been incredible. It really has. It's been, you know, one of the things I talk about to you know, when someone's thinking about getting into it, and I always say, like, I know it sounds scary, I know it says, you know, when you look at what you have to do and you start researching softwares and microphones and this and that and everything, it gets overwhelming. Yeah. You do end up just kind of falling into it. I mean, like I said, you're like a literal pro now. You don't need me now.
I know where to cut out all the ums and ahs. There you go. I just gave you some ums and ahs. I mean, it's kind of one of those things, isn't it? I always think that I'm not very good at sort of reading instructions. I've recently done the Clifton Strengths test. I don't know if you've heard of that. And basically, you answer a load of questions, and then it tells you what your top five strengths are. And one of them is strategic. And one of the things of being strategic is you just like to think about something straight away and then wonder how you can sort of get from A to B in the quickest possible route. So solve something really quickly. And that is very much me. I'm no good at reading instructions. So if I've got something to learn something new, I just do it and then learn while I'm doing it. So that's literally what we do with the podcasting.
I think I might be a little bit like that. Like I bought a corner shelf unit for my kitchen worktop and came in a couple of pieces with a few things, and I threw away the instructions in the box and I went at it for 90 minutes and I took it apart and put it together about 40 times. And I'm like, how hard can this be? Like, I can't, it's like this big, like, what's the problem? So yeah. I ended up digging the instructions out and reading them and then I did it. But yeah, I think it's fun. Like, I just go into it in attack mode, you know, and then I make the situation 10 times worse and then I back up and I do it the way you're supposed to do it. So I don't know if strategic is the right word for that, but yeah. I think my wife is the same as you. Like she's very much a problem solver. It doesn't faze her to do the research, do the work, all that kind of stuff. Whereas I'm like, I got it. No, I never do. So let's, I wanted to ask you, like you've done 72 episodes over the span of, I don't even know how long. Do you know how long? 2017?
I think it's longer than that. I don't know. Then you've stumped me with this question. I'm not sure is the answer. I can have a look. But it's I think it's been like five years maybe.
I think it's been five. And you know that. And I know, like, I get asked this question all the time, so you're probably going to be like, I can't believe you asked me that. But was there one interview that stood out in your mind, like you were so happy to be able to do it, and it turned out the way you wanted it to, and it was everything you wanted it to be, like one of those things?
I think I've had quite a few really good guests on. I don't know if there's one particular one that really stands out. I remember interviewing Susan X Meager. I think that's how you say her name. I know she's called me in it when I interviewed her, and I can't remember. But you know, I'm a woman of a certain age. My memory, you know. I remember she was brilliant and so generous with her time and just like. Everything she said seemed to be kind of gold, you know what I mean? It's like I was at a much earlier stage in my writing career then. She had been writing for over a decade and she's got loads of experience, but she was just so genuinely a lovely person and very humble and just really giving. And she was on like a trip around Europe as well, which I loved. And she came to Europe every summer, which, you know, you speak to some Americans and that's not what they do. So they don't leave the country, quite a lot of them. So, yeah. So I liked that about her, that she was quite, European centric, but she was just lovely. But I think everybody I've interviewed has been fabulous. And you know, the one thing that's really come out of it that is the best thing is that I've made a lot of friends from the podcast, which I know that you would be able to relate to as well. And that's something I didn't really anticipate. I just thought I'd do it to maybe learn something from other people, but also to engage my sort of journalistic background, because it's been a fantastic way to do that as well, because I kind of didn't realize that I'd miss that kind of thing that I always used to do, like ask people questions. So I quite like doing that, so this was a way to carry on doing it, but I didn't expect to make friends through it, and I really have, particularly Harper Bliss and TB Markinson. TB, who I now host my other podcast with, Lesbians Who Write, and both Harper and TB, I met them first by doing the podcast. We've become very good friends in real life. We've written books together. We've been on holiday together. So, you know, that I think that is the thing that I'll take.
Oh, that's fantastic. I didn't realize that. I knew you were doing the podcast, and I knew that you'd written a book with Harper Bliss, but I didn't know it went beyond that. That's fantastic. That's sweet. Oh, cute. I like that you over time put together like a nice, easy formula for doing, you know, what you do. You know, it's because you know, like I liked your question about if you who would you be the love child of? Is that the question? Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Because that really gives you something to think about, you know? And and I like that you always ask them what their view is, you know, when they're doing their writing, like where do they work from? You know, and I thought that's really interesting because it's a lot of people have a lot of different answers. You know, nowadays you can do it from anywhere. You can do it from a cafe. You don't have to be sitting at a desk, you know? So I like that because it does give you an insight to, first of all, what their surroundings are, you know, and second of all, like that question about who would you be two people would you be the love child of? That's a great look into someone's mind about how they think of themselves. So it's incredible. So yeah, I like that. And there is an ease to it, I think. Did you find that people wanted to know the questions ahead of time or no?
They usually did. not everybody, but I always send them purely because I am a Virgo and I like to know questions ahead of time. Although I don't know what you're going to ask me today. So I was quite relaxed about this one because I thought, well, I kind of know the subject, you know.
I know the subject well. Yeah, I just think it was, you know, I think I remembered at a certain point, you know, producing them, you got to kind of listen to them. You got to get a feel for how you wanted it to be and whatnot. But, and then over the time it became super, super easy. But I think I liked knowing what to expect when I got a file from you, you know, that was, you know, the easiest podcast to produce in my lifetime of producing.
Oh, podcasts. Well,
that became like the easiest, like I could, I was this close from just doing it from my phone. But because I had such faith in you, like after you'd learned, you know, so much, I knew it was going to be great. And I know you would always say, just have a listen and make sure. And most of the time I would, but there were times where I had to just put my faith in you and get it up there. It's really, really a testament to your work ethic. First of all, how long it went on. Like I said, the quality of it never wavered. It just kept getting better and better. And second of all, you still manage to pump out like 30,000 books a year. You write at an incredible pace. Like you just are putting out book after book after book. You're doing the podcast for my stream. You're doing the podcast, Lesbians Who Write. And I'm like, where is she finding the time to pump these books out? It's incredible. I mean, how disciplined are you?
It's kind of weird, isn't it? Because I don't really think of myself as that. I had lunch with somebody a few months ago, and they told me I was driven, and I said, "Oh, but I don't drive," you know. it's weird when someone points it out to you. I don't really see myself as that disciplined. I'm quite a procrastinator, but I suppose. I know you're giving me
so
a look now.
So funny hearing that. Like, when do you find time to procrastinate?
but I suppose, like you say, as time goes on, I did procrastinate a lot more in the beginning part of my career. Like in the first 3 years, I think I wrote 5 books.
That was the London series, right? With they went like the seasonal ones.
No, not all the London series, because I think I only wrote 2 of them in the first 2 or 3 in the first 3 years. So I wrote The Long Weekend and Nothing to Lose as well, I think, in that time. But anyway, I wrote 5 books in 3 years, which is not to be sniffed at, obviously. But then since then I've written 3 books a year. So it's, you know, stepped up. I probably have added other things to my plate, but then I've gone full time, so that's the difference. And I suppose it's a funny thing, isn't it? When you're doing this yourself, because I'm independently published, I've got my own publishing company, I do everything, you know, myself. Well, with the help of lots of freelancers, I should say. Yeah. I cover designers and editors and things like that. But when you're doing it yourself, it's, you're just kind of in it. Do you know what I mean? And you've got deadlines, and I just set myself deadlines, and then I just go for them. And I know roughly how long it takes to write a book. And I know how well I can, what I can do, and in what time. So you kind of just get do it and get on with it.
It's amazing that you say I set deadlines for myself and I do it, because if I set a deadline for myself, I'm going to blow it off. If somebody else sets a deadline for me, I'm going to hit it.
Right.
So you take your deadline seriously. I don't take my deadline seriously.
Well, I suppose you see, like, when I've got a deadline for myself, I then also have a deadline for the cover designer and the editor. So then I've got other people booked and I've got to hit that. So
yeah, that part of it. Right. Exactly. But yeah, it's just, I think it's, it really, it's amazing what you've accomplished. I mean, since we've been working together, I had like a really rough week. Like I lost somebody really, really close to me, and it kind of makes you, thank you. It kind of makes you, like I was going through pictures, like looking for a certain picture, you know, I was like getting like really freaked out about it, but I was going through, and you know, nowadays you have like 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 pictures on your phone, you know? So I'm like, and I'm going through them, and I found some pictures from the first time that I met you at Bar Titania doing, some authors were there doing some readings. I went with Katie, me and Gemma went with Katie Hall. And, that was the first time we met. And I think, right after that was when I approached you about working, about doing the podcast. So it was so fitting that this was the week that you were going to be the guest. And here I was looking over all these pictures, you know, it was really, really cool. Yeah. It's like, wow. Like it does, it just, you know, marks it, put a stamp on it. Like it was cool. I don't know that I've really had such a good working relationship with somebody for like 5 solid years or whatever it's been. Like I just, you know, I mean, there was just a nice routine and an ease to it that you made it, you took it seriously. It's really hard to get people. I mean, I throw it out there on Twitter all the time. If anybody wants to do a podcast about, you know, some LGBT related focused niche that they're, you know, well-versed in or whatever, like contact me, like get in touch, and they will. And then I'll say, can you do it like once a month? And they're like, once a month. Well, you know, and I'm like, wow, if they can't commit to once a month, I don't think this is going anywhere. But you know, you were so good about it. You were so diligent. Like I never had to prompt you and be like, where's the podcast? Like, chase you down for it. So it's a blessing.
Oh, no. Thank you. And the feeling is very mutual as well. But no, I mean, as I said, I just appreciated the platform that you had, and you were prepared to give me the opportunity. It was fabulous. I could see that it was a great opportunity, but also I could see that it might help, you know, me sell some more books and make some connections and learn something. So, you know, it wasn't just, you know, it was going to be beneficial to me. It's going to be beneficial to you. And then hopefully other people would learn from it as well and enjoy it. So, right. And I've always thought that about, you know, maybe it's my background in journalism and stuff, but I always know that if you want to start something, you have to be consistent with it. And so, like, and that's the key thing. And I did a bit of, you know, research into podcasts when I first started, and that's what everybody said. And it's no different, like coming from, you know, I used to do weekly magazines and monthly magazines. It's the same thing. So, so you have to be consistent. And I guess that's sort of the attitude I take into my books as well. I have to be consistently giving readers more stuff to read.
Yeah, you have such a huge following. Like I remember being a little bit nervous about having that kind of podcast on our feed, because before that it was mainly like the Lesbian Lounge, and I had these two really funny, goofy chicks that lived in upstate New York that were like, you know, like kind of like me and Donna. They were like lesbian best friends, and they were a little kooky, a little crazy. And I gave them, you know, some feed time and said, look, if you know, you got things you want to get off your chest, you know, whatever. And so we called it rag time. So they were rag on things that were bothering them. So it was a little raucous, and that was in line kind of like with the way Donna and I were. And then I felt like here I brought in this quintessential British author to, you know, that had this very melodic, perfect voice and perfect vocabulary. And it was so perfectly British. And I thought it just brought everybody into a calm, you know, and I just kept thinking, you know, from my end, like, are people going to relate to this? Because I already had like a built-in group of about like 500 subscribers, you know, at the time. And so they were getting what they were used to getting. And so I was a little bit nervous about it. And I'll tell you what, like after like the first or second month, the numbers that you were bringing in from your readers and your fan base and your followers were mind-blowing. Like it was like just within 3 or 4 days, you know, you would have like 500 and 600 downloads. And then, you know, the following week would go by and it would be up to like 700 downloads. And then the following week would go by, it would go up to 1,000 downloads. And I'd be like, what is even happening here? Like people were just, it seemed like they were just starved for it. And I don't, you know, I can't say whether there was a lot of crossover between my listeners and your followers that became listeners. But I think there was, like, I want to believe that, like, there's no way that if I could tell, but, you know, like sometimes I'll go way back through the comments and stuff and people just loved what you did, you know, and unfortunately I couldn't tell where they were commenting from, but, yeah, it's just like, I was so,
and I
was impressed with it, you know, like it was, yeah, it was a welcomed addition. Like, I think it gave a little balance to the normal chaos that's coming off my stream.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad it gave balance. It's what I'm here for. That's really nice to hear that it brought, people in, and hopefully they could listen to all the podcasts that were on the stream. That would be great. I don't know. Is the honest truth is, I don't know if, some readers did come over to the podcast, and especially when we first started out, because that's quite a while ago. I think podcasts, even then, you know, like everyone says the heyday podcast was like, when they first really broke out, was like sort of 2014, 2015. You were an old hand by then.
Not even joking. I was literally burnt out by then because we started in 2006. So the timing was, I didn't want to be doing the Lesbian Lounge anymore, but I didn't want my feed to just sit. So bringing the Lesbian Book Club on board kept that podcast feed active, and it was gaining new life and new listeners. So, for 5 years, it was like, it was nice to have a break from having to be the one that was constantly putting content on it, you know? So you, without even knowing, you know, kept the feed alive.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I'm pleased. I'm pleased to have played a part.
Yeah. So what are you What are you going to do? What are you going to do now? I mean, you're still going to do Lesbian Too Right, I would imagine.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, we're still going to do Lesbian Too Right. We do that. That's a weekly podcast. And again, I think it's difficult to know, isn't it, where people find out about your podcast and where they're coming in from. It's one of those mysterious things. And I think things might change in the coming years. But yeah, who knows? We're going to carry on with Lesbian Too Right. I haven't got any other plans to do a different podcast. I might do, but I haven't at the moment. I think I just want to concentrate a little bit more on my writing and a bit more on my marketing, really. So it's a bit of a dull answer, really, because I'm not planning to go off and conquer.
Absolutely not. Like, I'm glad it freed up the time to do that, because, like I said, I do feel like you have such a loyal following. You know, they eat up whatever you're putting out, you know, and they get the word out about it. You know, that's super important. And you know, things are opening up a little bit now and going on again. So there'll be festivals and, you know, literary salons and festivals and whatnot. So, you know, that.
I'm thinking of going over to America. I'm thinking of going over to America next year. I mean, the jury's still out, but Albuquerque. You been there?
Where? Albuquerque.
Albuquerque. Albuquerque.
No, that's great. No, actually, I do. I had a friend that lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico, then moved to Taos, and loved it. And she, the pictures she used to post, like, they were breathtaking. Like, I've never seen sunsets like that before. Landscape pictures like that before. It's actually really beautiful. And you, who knows, you could bump into Julia Roberts, because I do believe she lives in Taos. So tell her hi for me.
Okay. Yeah. My wife would be very excited. She's Julia's number one fan. If you get a selfie with her, then she'd be well gel.
That's great. Do you know someone there, or is there something?
No. The Golden Crown Literary Society, which is the Oscars of the lesbian fiction world, GCLS to its friends, they have a conference every year. And the last 2 years, obviously, it's been online. But they're going to do it in person in 2022, and it's going to be in Albuquerque. So they change the city every year. I've looked it up. It's quite hot and dusty, but it has got good Mexican food, apparently, because it's finally Mexico, right? So that could swing it. I do love an American diner, and I do love Mexican food. And you can't get proper Mexican food in this country if you love them.
Really can't. I know. I've wasted quite a few pounds on Taco Bell over here.
Yeah.
it's not even close to the crappy Mexican of American Taco Bell. So,
right.
But yeah, that's one of the things I do look forward to when I go home, is having some decent Mexican Cuban food. You know, I mean, yeah. Miami's right there. So yeah, it is. It's outrageous. It's a culinary tour. You know, when you go to the States, there's a lot. If you love American diners, you will love it. There will be American diners, no matter where you go.
Yeah, my friend and fellow podcast host, TB Markinson, she's trying to convince me to come over for this conference. And she's already sent me links to a number of diners that she will drive me to. So that's her bribery going on.
That sounds perfect. I say do it. I'm with her. I'm pushing. Do it. Do it. That's great, though. I mean, see, so it does free you up to do these kinds of things without, worry about having to get it done, you know. And you'll maintain the friendships that you, like you said, that you made. So that's great. It's a fitting ending to.
I think as well I did go to GCLS, which is you get a lot of authors going there, and obviously mainly American, because it's in America every year. but a lot of those authors who go there, I will have interviewed on the podcast, so they'll know me. We'll have had a conversation, so that's going to make grease the wheel.
That's the greatest thing ever. I know when Donna and I went on the Sweet Cruise, back in like 2009, we'd been podcasting since 2006, and between businesses, magazines, bars, web series, LGBT projects, there were so many people on that ship that we had talked to but never met. And that was the highlight of the trip, was just like, walking into one of the lounges and being like, oh my god, there's the girls from Cherry Bomb. It was so fun. Like, that was, you, I say go. There's just, everything is pointing at go. it'll be a perfect experience.
I've got American diners. I've got, Mexican food.
Friends you kind of know, so it won't be weird. Yeah, it's like, it's like going on a... Yeah.
What do you mean you don't remember me? I interviewed you 5 years ago. Come on.
Hey, don't remember this accent? You'll probably be one of the few British people there. That's fantastic. That is so good. I'm really, really, really thrilled, because I think it's been a super fun ride. And, it brought a little class to my feed, to say the least.
You're very kind. I was born with this British accent. People slap the classy label on it. So, I'm from Essex, really.
I get that part of it. But I think the thing of it is that you were actually talking about a legitimate, interesting subject. You know, lesbian fiction is like at a peak. It's just, you know, people can't get enough of it right now. It's absolutely at a peak. But, you know, I think the people that listen to stuff that, you know, that Donna and I were putting out and the girls from Ragtime and whatnot, like, they're not the kind to curl up with a book, you know, they're curl up with a beer, maybe curl up with,
you can curl up with a beer and a book, to be fair, and a burrito if you want to.
I didn't, you know, really picture them as, you know, readers. So I do think that, like I said, I think you elevated us just a little bit, you know, opened our minds a little bit and gave some insight because, you know, I think about when I first, the days that I agonized over whether or not to write a book or, you know, to get into it. Would I be able to finish it? How long would it take? What, you know, what would it entail and how hard was it going to be? And all that stuff. And I think you gave everybody a peek behind the curtain of what it's like to be a lesbian fiction author. And so were your, you know, and your guests as well, you know, and there were all different levels of success. And I thought that was interesting too.
Yeah, no, it was interesting to speak to people who've been doing it a lot longer than me, speak to new authors who were really smashing it. I mean, that was all very, you know, it was exciting. And I was always interested to hear their answers. And yeah, like I said, and to see what I could catch from them and copy and it's exactly the same for me. And then obviously it's never going to work out exactly the same. But yeah, it was it's been wonderful to do it. And you know, you gave me the badge of podcaster. So
I did. Anyway. I feel quite honored about that. I really do. I think that you earned it. First of all, I didn't just give it to you. You most certainly earned it. But like I said, it was a pleasure. And I think it really did help people because, you know, I didn't think and I don't know about you, well, you probably took the smarter approach, but like, I didn't think to talk to other writers about what it entailed, you know, like I would go to a couple of things like that I went to with Katie and stuff. And that was just because like in Florida, we used to do that a lot. We would go to like spoken word things and stuff. And that was kind of the closest I could find over here. And that's why I went. But like when I got serious about thinking about writing, it didn't dawn on me to do any kind of research about how to do it. And, you know, nowadays people, it's just, they have all these tools at their fingertips. And I feel like the podcast was a tool for people like that were learning, that were thinking about it or had an idea, but didn't know how to go about maybe, you know, putting it in a book. And I think that's why it was important. And also again, right time, absolute right time. So I do hope, you know, like those stay up there for a long time. So I do hope that people, you know, search a hashtag. Like I used every possible hashtag there you could possibly attach to a lesbian book club podcast, and yes. You know, and they'll yes. find it, and they and yeah. even if it's a little older than by then they'll learn something from it, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
You should be especially so proud.
Yeah, especially for all the people who've, you know, been doing it so long and had so much to share, or even the debut authors who brought a different perspective to it and were just so thrilled. And yeah. that could be them. That could be you. That was one of the things I was going to say. But during the process of me doing the podcast, you wrote and published a few books. So bravo!
I did.
Came on. that should have been my highlight, shouldn't it, Denise? Damn it.
Yeah, that's okay. Continue. I'll edit it in. I'll take care of that.
But that's very exciting. And yeah, so any more plans for any more books from you?
You know what I've been doing without putting like an immense pressure on myself, because it's been such a really crappy year. Without putting that kind of pressure on myself, what I do is I write down ideas and thoughts and direction. And I just keep those handy because I feel like even, you know, with the books that I did finish, what happens is I get more, and I get, it's like a slow burn, and then all of a sudden I'm amped up and I'm ready to do it. But I, at, what I learned is that, you know, the older I get, the more shit escapes. So I gotta capture it, you know, cause I know it's good when it happens. So I gotta write it down and just, so I just have like piles and piles of ideas and thoughts and direction. And I'm waiting for the amp, you know, to switch on and then we'll see, but I'm not gonna load myself with a lot of pressure, cause it was hard and it sucked for a long time. You know, like I was fortunate enough to have Katie help me as an editor and be the one that was submitting it like on my behalf, because like I said, I don't read instructions and directions. So when it comes to submitting something, I'm not really good at it. So I had Katie doing that for me. And I know that, you know, it was really hard for her to write back and be like, oh, well, Boldstroke rejected it, or, oh, sorry, you know, Bella Books rejected it. Like, it was heartbreaking for her because we're friends, you know? So I just said, you know what? Don't tell me. Just do your thing. Submit it where you want to submit it. I don't care. Don't tell me. Don't tell. And a year went by. I didn't hear anything from her. And then finally she was like, I got a bite. So yeah, it's harder that way. Like I wish I had to, you know, like I said, I wish I had the drive that you have to self-publish something. I don't know if that would be the way to go or not, but you know, again, I'll go back and listen to the podcast and find out and do the research.
Yeah, you should definitely listen to this podcast called The Lesbian Book Club. Apparently it's very wise. I will say as well, though, during the however many years I've been doing it, 5 years, there's been a sea change as well in the attitude towards lesbian fiction from mainstream publishers. So when I started, when I started publishing books in 2014, I knew a couple of agents and I was told no mainstream publisher would take a romance with two women as the leads, because it just won't sell. There's no market. And then when I went to, obviously they're not talking about the gay focused publishers like Bella Books and Boldstrokes and all that.
Yeah.
Right. But they're talking about like the five UK mainstream, like Random House, Penguin, Hachette, all that.
Yeah.
But now I've had quite a few traditionally published authors on the podcast in the last 2 years, because there's been a huge sea change. So, you know, that's really encouraging as well. And that has been interesting to watch, because, you know,
will you ever do that? Will you ever go that route?
I can't think that I will, because through setting up my own publishing company and being my own publisher, it's really confirmed that I am a control freak. So
I wasn't expecting that at all.
So, you know, to not have control, because I know that when you go to traditional publisher, you don't get to choose the title or the cover, you don't get to choose the release date, you don't have control of the marketing. And I would find that very difficult. You know, I publish my own ebooks and print, and I do half and half audio. So I've gone into publishing contracts with publishers for audiobooks. And I find that a little bit difficult. And that's with an audiobook. And I thought, I'd be all right relinquishing control of that. But no, I'm not happy with any of the ones that other people have done. I mean, I'm not happy with, you know, aspects of certain ones I've done. But I think that's just, you know, the perfectionist in me. But the only thing I've started doing recently is translations. And that is something that I've been doing with traditional publishers. So I signed away I've got three books out in German now, and I'm working with a German publisher to do that. And then I've got a book out in Brazil, in Brazilian Portuguese, and I've just signed contracts for two more books with my Brazilian publisher. So that is a great thing to do, because that would take so much time and effort on my part, and money, a lot of money, actually. To produce something in a language that I don't speak would be, you know, it's not to say I'm not going to do it, because I want to, just for the challenge. Probably when you're saying, what am I going to do to replace the time that I'm doing this book club? Probably try and publish a book in a language that I don't understand.
I think what you should do is you should go about it, get it published, don't get it released, and then have somebody who's really well versed in that language, read it and see if it translates, because it could end up being about like a monkey and a panda for all exactly. you know
exactly. Yeah. Which is why, you know, going with publishers for translations suits me better. But yeah, that's an exciting new avenue, but I do want to do one myself.
Yeah, no, that's really exciting. That's fantastic. I do. I've always said this. I absolutely, whoever does your covers, do you want to give them credit?
I've got two cover designers actually. So, but they all work to the same kind of branding. So yeah, Rachel Lawston and Kevin Pruitt, both of them right. Fantastic. Yeah.
Well, kudos to them, because I absolutely love your covers. Like, I just think.
Well,
they're perfect. They're thoughtful. They're original. And they're all kind of, you know, they all follow suit, you know, and they don't get, yeah. you know, too crazy. And you are right. That is the one thing that I absolutely despised about working with a publisher, was not being able to pick my covers, because they absolutely never matched my stories ever. No matter what they sent me, it was just like, nope, nope. And then I got so frustrated. I just got to the point that went, fine. You know, and it had absolutely nothing to do with my book. And now I regret that. But not having that kind of control. And of course, like you said, like, you know, they came back to me a couple of times and said, we need this to be like a little bit more diverse. I'm writing a story about two women. Like, how much more diverse can it be? Well, you know, we need to make one of them maybe multiracial. You know, I'm like, oh, okay. You know, so it was just, you know, I felt like so out of my depth making changes, that I was so committed to what I had. So yeah, that was brutal. That was super, super hard. And the fact that they split the first book in two, you know, I mean, in the long run, it made it easier for me to honor that 3-book deal, because then I only had to write. Yes. So it was quite beneficial, but it was all stuff that was just completely out of my control. And I didn't know those things. And even though I had a lot of people sitting in on that first initial call, because I didn't want to, you know, it's like when you're at an auction, you're afraid to scratch your face, because they're going to say sold to the woman for 50,000. So yeah. I didn't want to say anything that is somehow committed me to it. So I had like a lot of people listening in and you know, and then I took my time and just went over the pros and cons. And I think, you know, like at that point, I was just so anxious. I just wanted to get it out, and I didn't think it all the way through. So I do have a lot of regrets, but, you know, it was still fun and I still did it. And that was, you know, I was happy about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think with any creative project, you know, you make it the best you can, and then you release it, and then you hope it does well. And sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't, but then you just have to accept what it is and move on. And you can have regrets, but the good thing is you can always create something new.
And learn from those mistakes. Yeah. Yeah.
You could self-publish your next book, and
I wish I knew a self-publisher.
I know. Who can I ask?
No, you were always super gracious, because you know, I did go to you a few times and ask you some questions, and you always, you know, got right back to me with answers and stuff. And I will forever be grateful. That was fantastic. It's like, you know, you don't want to like bother someone when you know that they're working or whatever, but I was like, oh, maybe she'll just take the time out just to answer this one or two questions, or and you always did. So that was fantastic. It's just been, yeah, it's been an absolute joy. I just can't, I can't tell you how thrilled I am that you're moving along, and how grateful I am for what you're leaving me with. Oh. You can always direct your people to come back and look for your shows anytime you
yes.
want.
Yes.
That's great. Well, I wish you well, and I will let you go. I know it's a little late over here. We'll let you go off into the sunset.
I am into the sunset, into the dark night, with a cloak on or something. No, just to say again, thank you so much. It's been fabulous. I will be giving you one more, Denise. So yes. I know I said yes. November, it might be December, but you know, this is clearly where I'm getting sloppy with my deadlines, right? On the last one.
Perfectly fine. You take your time, you make it what you want. This is your your grand exit. It'll be whatever, yes. And I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm not even worried about it. All right. No, thank you so much. take it easy, take care, have a lovely time in the States, and definitely take tons of pictures if you do go.
Bye, sweetie. Way too much whiskey.
Like, never stop chasing your dreams.